All right, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start there. And this is a scripture I've been thinking about for about a year now. And every time I get up, I read this scripture. It doesn't have really anything to do with the lesson, but it's a great scripture. And the truth is, I think if we understood this scripture, we wouldn't need the lesson. You know what I mean? I mean, this is deep, okay? Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's praying for the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. And if you ever want to read about the church, Ephesus is the best book in the Bible, I think, to read about the church, because it talks about it a lot. But here he says, in verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I want to challenge everybody. I don't know what you're doing in your quiet times, but tomorrow, just get that passage and read and try to figure out wide and deep and high and long is God's love for you. Think about the person you loved in the past so much and what you would have done. Maybe it's for me, it's my grandmother, and how much she meant to me and how much I knew she loved me and how much I loved her. Think about your children or your grandchildren and what you would do for them and how much you love them. And the truth of the matter is, if we can get the hold of that, that's not even close to how much God loves us. So then, the more that we understand that, the man, other things, giving or coming or whatever it is, that doesn't mean we're happy to do that because we understand the love of Christ. Again, nothing to do with my sermon. That's free. Carolyn, do you have your phone? Would you have Sydney bring it up here to me? Because I've got to keep time. Do we have a clock? We'll have a clock back there. I don't want anybody falling asleep or getting their watch and shaking it or anything, so. I'm a Disney addict. I could say, "Hello, Sonny. My name is Sonny. I'm a Disney addict." You could say, "Hello, I'm a Disney addict too." But I don't know if you are. But if you ever, thank you, Sydney. Thank you, dear. All right. And so I love to go. I love to go with the grandkids. Carolyn and I first went when we were like just married, and it was fun and all that kind of stuff. But there was a great movie about this, a couple, and then there's a great show down there. It's called Be Our Guest, right? You know the song, right? Okay, can we sing it? Now, the kids aren't in here. I need some help over here, okay? And I really only know like the first four words. But some of you know more. But I think we ought to try it. Ready? Be our guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you. Thank you. It's great. Now, I'm kind of a, when it comes to restaurants, I'm kind of a, I have a dual personality. Because in Athens, because I'm trying to be a vegan, and we have a place called The Grit. And The Grit in Athens is awesome if you love tattoos and nose rings and all that kind of stuff, because that's the waiters and the waitresses, and they're cool, and it's awesome, and the food is great. They have fake chili that's really good. And then there's Cracker Barrel. Very different from The Grit, different vibe, but I like them both. And then you throw in P.F. Chang's. If they ever build a P.F. Chang's in Athens, I could die happy. I like P.F. Chang's. When you go to a restaurant, whether it's The Grit or the Cracker Barrel or wherever you go, you are a customer. And therefore, you critique the restaurant, right? Number one on Carolyn's list is clean. If we look at the health score and it's 79 or 89, it doesn't matter if it's free. We're not staying, because she says that, no, that's not going to work for me. Clean is important, right, in a restaurant? All right. Food, what kind it is and is it good or not? Because if it's not good, you don't go back. Even if it's cheap, you don't like it, you don't go back. Service. If the service is good and on time and all that kind, if it's not good, even if the food's good, even if the price is pretty good, you want service, right? Ambiance. I love the ambiance at Chick-fil-A. It's nice. They're different. And then the price. And all the guys are going, yeah, when are you going to get to the price? Because that's top of my list. All right, so that's what you have. Now, and so you go, and you can be a critic, but that doesn't mean that you don't like it. You're just watching that, and you're checking it out. And what you might do, if it's good, you tell somebody else, hey, you got to go over there and try that. That's really good. You got to try this restaurant. Don't go to that one. Now, we might have some people who are visiting with us today here, like I'm visiting. And you're visiting maybe for the first time or the second time, and you are a visitor and you are a critic. You would be dumb not to be a critic. Because when you go somewhere, there's certain things you want to know, just like in a restaurant, like, how's the parking? If it's raining cats and dogs and I got to park a block and a half away, how about the welcomers? Are the greeters? Are there any? How are they? Are they a little strange? How are they? You want to know that, right? I mean, when you walk in, first impressions matter. And then you look at the building and you see how that is. And then you say, well, how's the music? That's important. And how's the sermon? Now, if you're visiting with us, you can just go ahead and check that off. It's going to be awesome. You got that? If you got kids, the main thing is, how's the kids program? That's what you want to know. If I had more time, I'd tell you about a time that we were in Texas, and I took Sydney to class, and it's just different. I just have to tell you that. What do they do? What does this church do in the community? Does it help people in the community? What does it do to help people who are less fortunate, not only in this community, but all over the world? What does the church do? What does it stand for? What does it believe? Those are all good questions. And you better be asking those. If you go, you know, if you move somewhere and go to a church, it doesn't matter what it says on the door, you better be asking those questions, and you will. You'll be a critic. And so it's not bad to be a critic. It's not wrong to be a critic. And if you are here and visiting with us today, we expect nothing from you. Now, if you won the lottery last night and want to kick in a couple of mil, okay. But we don't really want your money. We want you to come. What we want to do is help you deepen your relationship with God. Or maybe we want to help you find God for the very first time. I don't know where you are. You're visiting. Now, I go to Cracker Barrel often. Kindred and I, the preacher in Athens, we go to Dunkin' Donuts, and we call it the synagogue because we go so much. We meet there. That's like I really is our second office. But you know, at Cracker Barrel, they've never asked me, would you like an apron with a star on it, with your name on it? You know how they have little stars there? I think that's cool. Because I'm not there to be a waiter. It would be weird if they asked me, do you want an apron with your name on it? Now, the bad news is some of them know me by name. That's bad. You've gone a lot of times at the Cracker Barrel if they know your name. But, see, what I'm saying is I don't plan to be a waiter. I plan to go. I plan to get my food. I plan to enjoy it, pay for it, and leave. That's what you do when you're a customer. Right? But it's a whole different thing if you're a waiter. Right? You're not there to eat. You're not there to do anything but to serve the people who are there. Shake your head this way. You got it? That's what we're supposed to do if we're a waiter. Everybody in this room is either a server or a customer in this church. Server, waiter, waitress, or customer. You're here, you're visiting. Now, look over in Acts chapter 2. This is when the first restaurant opened. Carrying the analogy. Thank you. Now, all analogies break down at some point, and so I don't know where it's going to break down. Maybe different from me to you, but anyway, Acts 2, 36. Here it is. It's 50 days after Jesus is crucified on the day of Pentecost. And there are a bunch of Jews who have stayed in Jerusalem because of all this hubbub about Jesus. And the apostles have been preaching and the apostles have been teaching. And the Holy Spirit has come up. I mean, it is hopping spiritually there in Jerusalem. And Peter gets up and preaches or serves up the first meal. He gets up and preaches the first sermon, right? Here's what he says toward the end of it. Therefore, in verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day. Thus were those who accepted. There were some other people who didn't accept. You with me? Okay, so these 3,000 are going from customer to server. Here's what happened. They devoted themselves. These 3,000 people, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. With many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was a big deal. And those people heard the lesson, they heard the message, and they said, we killed Jesus. And we need to do something about it. And 3,000 of them that day decided to become Christians. They were baptized, they had their sins forgiven, and they changed what they were doing. They met together. They ate together. They prayed together. They stayed together. They were different than the other people who heard the message and left and went home. When you heard the message and you said, He's talking about me. Just like Zacchaeus. It was Zacchaeus' time. And Jesus said, you come on down, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus says, you got me. I'm yours. Remember when you said, I'm yours. And you changed. The things you used to smoke, you didn't smoke them anymore. The things you used to say, you didn't say them anymore. The things, we used to sing about that, didn't we? The things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. Why? Because you quit being a customer and started being a waiter or a servant of Jesus. And that's what happened. Look it over in Ephesians chapter 2. Eight through ten. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you became a Christian, God had works. He had tables for you to take care of. He had a job for you. What's your job? I don't know what your job is. One job Karen and I had for a long, long time was camp. God had that in mind for us to do. It wasn't like it was a great idea on our part. God worked, He orchestrated all that. God has something for you to do. He created it for you. He's got a job for you. I don't know what it is. And maybe you don't know what it is. That's okay. It took God 20 years to get me ready to run camp. We wanted to do it earlier. God says, you don't have enough sense. You're an idiot. You got to grow up some. But He had that prepared for us to do. And look right down to chapter 3. This is great about the church. We don't think about this enough. Verse 10 of chapter 3, His intent or God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God eternally set the church up. The church is the bride of Jesus. This church is the bride of Jesus. And it's not an afterthought. And He put us here in the church to do our job. That's what He said. That's what He wants us to do. Some of us need to rethink that. Remember when you first were a Christian? Every service was great. Every sermon was amazing. Every time you got with somebody, it was like, oh, they're so smart. It was so exciting. But what happens is we get into these churches, these restaurants, and sometimes the leaders are boneheads. They're not perfect. I got a newsflash. He's not here, I can tell you. Jim Lanahan is not perfect. It's the truth. In fact, He ain't close. I don't know how your committee is or who's on it or the board or whatever. They're a bunch of sinners. Every one of them. Sometimes they're not nice to their wives. And they struggle being honest in business. Why? Because they're people. They are. Now the big boss, he's just fine. God's doing good. He's the big boss. All the franchises, sometimes we have in trouble, but the big boss is doing just fine. Thank you very much. And the reason the franchises are doing bad, because they're not listening enough to the big boss. They think they know more than they should. Here's the problem. My mother, God bless her, was a retired server, a retired waitress. I don't know if you're a retired waitress or not, or you ever sat down at a meal with a retired waitress, but here's how it would go with my mom. Without fail, breakfast. We would sit down, and she would say to this poor little woman who walks up with a little pad, and she says, I want dry toast, and I want you to burn it. I want 2 eggs scrambled hard, and I'm probably going to have to send them back. I want Sanka. It was like, I'm embarrassed every time she orders, because she thinks that she was the greatest waitress that ever lived. And so she retired and became a critic all over again. Ooh. You know where I'm going. Buckle up! Because, now, Jim didn't tell me to preach this. Steve didn't tell me to. I preached this in Athens, and I thought, Athens is not much different. We're all about the same. If you have an older congregation, but you know, you can be retired as a teen. You know, you can get all fired up for Jesus and become a Christian, and 6 months later, you can be retired. What happens when we get retired is we get critical. We just do. You know, we're just critical anyway. We were watching TV yesterday. Carol and I were. We were watching Alabama A-Day game to tell you how weird we are. And we were commenting on Nick Saban's hair. Being critical of Nick Saban's hair. Because by our nature, we're just critical. Right? And my son, who doesn't have much hair, said, what you trashing the bald head of the guy with not much hair? He said, that hurts, Dad. You see, we've got some waiters in here that for a lot of your career, you've been amazing waiters. You served and you loved and you gave and you cared, and you were so happy to do it. But somewhere along the line, you quit doing that so much. And you looked around and you said, "Ooh, I've been doing this for 20 years. Let's have some of these young people step up. Let's have them serve." Or the teens would say, "I don't think I need to do that. I'm just a kid. I mean, I'm a disciple, but I'm just a kid, so I probably don't need to serve like that." And I don't know what that means to you, but I know this. We don't need retired servers in God's kingdom. We need for everybody to figure out how God can use them and what job He's given them, and do it. You know, I love the passage in the Old Testament when they were trying to build the tabernacle and they just had to quit, tell them don't give any more money. I wish we never had to make 2 announcements about the same need. Whether it's teachers, whatever it is, that we never had to make two announcements because there were so many of us, especially those of us who are older, getting in line and saying, I hadn't served in a while. Back out of the way, youngster, let me show you how it's done. I'm good at this. Here's what happens when you do. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Look in verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving generously, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it carefully. You know what happens when you're involved in that and you're doing your deal and you're in the fight and you're in the service? It's so much fun because you have a common bond. And the bond is, man, we're trying to do something for Jesus. We're trying to help other people become Christians. Man, the people that you study the Bible with, as you study the Bible with someone, there's two of you, there's a bond that you have with that person as you help this other person become a Christian. You'll always remember that. And when you talk, that'll come up pretty quickly in the conversation. Why? Because there's a fellowship you can't get just going to the restaurant. You just get food there. But you got somebody who needs you to, some waiter's got some trouble and they need you to cover their shift. Well, of course I'll cover your shift. Why? Because we're in this together. You got somebody and they drop all the dishes and they go everywhere and you're there and you're trying to help them pick it up because you know exactly how that feels when you do it. But you see, if you're just there eating, you don't ever get that. Don't you remember how that felt? If you haven't done it in a while. Look what it says as we read on here. Verse 10. Or verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's just, when we are a family and we are working together, it's like at camp. As I got older, I began to think that camp really isn't for kids. It's for the adults who volunteer. Because I think they get so much out of it. I'll be sitting there and we'll be having devotional. One woman told me this, and I love this story. She said, you were talking at one devotional. We have a devotion with the kitchen staff every morning. She said, and you talked about talking ugly to your husband and to your children. She said, I couldn't breathe because I knew if I did, I would burst into tears. And she said, as soon as we said amen, I ran to the bathroom and wept like a baby. And she said, it changed my life. You see, when you're in the fight together and you're trying to feed a bunch of ornery kids who are picky and don't say thank you, never mind. Then at the end of that week, you're like best friends. Why? Because you've been in the fight together. The one thing, if you want to stay a servant, if you're really going to stay a servant the rest of your lives, you got to do this right here. And I'll close with this passage, and it's in Luke 7. If you're going to do it, Jesus was such a, he could just make it so clear with just so few words. Now, you're one of two. You're either the woman or the Pharisee. If you're the Pharisee, you've quit serving and you've gotten critical. I've already said this church is far from perfect. One reason it's far from perfect, because you're here. Right? Another reason is because leaders are fallible. Lord, we need all the help you can give us. But listen to the different attitude and see where you are. Verse 36, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume. Now this is really uncomfortable. This is just like, you're talking about a pause and a silence as this woman walks in with this alabaster. It escapes nobody. Everybody gets it. Something's happening here. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. What a critic. What a critic. Well, you know, if the leaders of this church were more in touch, we would. If they were really going to lead us in a... Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Oh, good. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my head. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The key to being a servant until we die is remembering we're just that woman. On our best day, our righteousness are like filthy rags. Quit being the Pharisee. Put your serving clothes back on. Your giving clothes, your generous clothes, your teaching, whatever it is, job that you have, and say, I might not be the smartest. I might not be the most spiritual. I might not be the most talented, but I guarantee you this, nobody can outwork me. I can do that. Paul said, no, I worked harder than all the apostles because he felt so grateful. Thank you very much.